days. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't worry about the noise. It's got some kind of a problem. He likes to talk a little bit extra. Okay. That's not me belching. Keep that clear. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice with me, verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So what's he going to tell us? He's going to tell us what the gospel is. "I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now notice what he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So what do we find? We find the gospel, I believe, defined in verses 3 and 4 as the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the resurrection. We're thankful for it. But we also have to understand something. You can't have a resurrection without a death and a burial. Wednesday night I dealt with the death. Today I'd like to stop and look at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never in my entire life heard a message, nor have I ever preached on the burial of Jesus Christ. I've never heard one. And yet what do we find here? We find it is a part of the gospel. So this morning I'd like for us to stop and consider this. When we serve the survey of the Old Testament, we find that there are many references to the burial of Jewish people. It was very important to them to have a good burial. And perhaps its significance can be seen. We go clear back into the Old Testament and look at Joseph. Joseph, who is one of the 12 Israel, one of the 12 tribes, actually, but Joseph, one of the 12 children of Jacob, we find that Joseph insisted on something when he died. Now, you remember the story. Of course, he ended up in Egypt. He ended up being the assistant to the Pharaoh. And here's what Joseph said, or what it says about him. In chapter 50, verse 25, says, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel." So he said to them, "Hey, listen, this is what you got to promise me. And here's the oath. God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." Think about that a moment. He says, God will surely visit you. In other words, he will deliver you. And in the process, I want you to carry my bones. What's left? He said, I want you to take that with you and bury it in the land or the promised land in Israel. It's interesting. Chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, it says in verse 19, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones away hence with you." So is this an important thing to the Jewish people? By all means. Here's something. When you get to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, I've seen if that was a certain spot. It says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now think about that. By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made this command to the children of Israel concerning his bones. And God records that as an act of faith. We find also in the Word of God the burial of Sarah by Abraham. We find, of course, Abraham's burial by his sons Isaac and Ishmael.
We look in the Bible and we find that the burial of Isaac and Rachel and Rebekah and Leah are also very specific. We find a great procession is made to bury Jacob in his homeland. Remember, he died in Egypt, and Joseph took him along with many, many people up to the homeland to bury him. 102 times you find the word buried used in the Old Testament, as God uses that word to often write down the names and even the places of their burial. I have, in my tenure as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, preached literally hundreds of funeral services. And when that service was ended, almost every time, we would then go to the cemetery. There'd be a procession that would be made. And in the process of all of that, I believe that we are trying to bring honor unto the one who has deceased. Burial is a big deal. It's a big deal. And so Jesus understood this well. I believe as he commanded the woman with the alabaster box of ointment that when she anointed him. Remember what it says in Matthew 26, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." This is very important. The burial of Jesus Christ is included in the very definition of the gospel as we find the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. By the way, gospel, if you do not know, that word means good news. And the good news is that Jesus died for us, he was buried for us, and he arose again. We will look at the significance of the resurrection in the hour to follow. But each part of this is very, very important for us. I want us to notice, first of all, as we think about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was a fulfillment of prophecy. In verse number 9 of Isaiah 53, it says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." If you're a student of the Bible, you know that chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah is very prophetic, and it's prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's it say? He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. There were two thieves that hung on both sides of him as he died upon the cross. But we also know that the tomb he was buried in was that of a rich man. And so God made that prophecy to us. In Psalm chapter 16, verse number 10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So for 3 days and three nights, he was in the grave, but he did not have corruption. And of course, there's, I believe, some reason for that. In the Word of God, in chapter 31 of Acts, it says, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." He said, indeed, that prophecy by David in Psalms is true. Now, here's something very interesting. There are 28 prophecies that were fulfilled on one day. On the day of the crucifixion. 28 prophecies. People say, well, the Bible is not true. Well, how is it that we can go back in the Old Testament and we find 28 specific things that God said would take place, and it all happened on one day? Allow me a few moments for us to stop and think about that. Perhaps the oldest prophecy of all is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, and had been given by God at the time of Adam and Eve's sin. We find that the Bible teaches by Daniel that the Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. You may remember that from the book of Daniel. We find David foretold the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas. It was understood many, many years previous. We find, as prophesied by Zacharias, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be forsaken by his disciples. We find the prince of his betrayal, or excuse me, the price, I can't read my own notes, the price of his betrayal was also foretold by Zechariah. I've showed you five things. Number six, Zechariah also foretold what will be done with the betrayal money. And I have not gone to find all this. I have all the scripture, but I did not have those ready. I didn't want to take that much time, but I want us to understand this. Many of those are familiar to you. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus Christ would be sacrificed as the Passover Lamb of God. We find he prophesied the scourging and the mocking that he would suffer. We find that David and Isaiah prophesied that Jesus' body would be mutilated. David prophesied the shame and dishonor that Jesus would suffer, being condemned as a criminal. We find David also foretold that false witnesses would testify against the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would not make an effort to defend himself at his trial. Certainly that was true. He also foretold Jesus Christ's crucifixion as the sin offering for the world. Isaiah had prophesied that he would be numbered among the lawmakers. Of course, there were two thieves on both sides. One on each side, I should say. David prophesied that his hands and his feet would be pierced. I mean, can you imagine something that many years before that took place on this day? The parting of his garments was also prophesied by David. In another psalm, David prophesied that they would give him vinegar to drink. David also prophesied that many would be watching Jesus during the crucifixion. And also among those watching would be Jesus' family and friends who would stand at a distance. Some of his observers, it was told us, would shake their heads at him. Even the words of his reproachers were prophesied by David. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would make intercession for sinners. That intercession, by the way, began during his crucifixion. Remember what he said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. David prophesied the thoughts of Jesus at the height of his suffering. Zechariah prophesied that his body would be pierced with a spear. David prophesied that Jesus would commit his spirit to God. Let me back up to the one with pierced with a spear. One of the things that they would do on the cross, if they were to take him down as they did and then put him back up because of something special or whatever, when they took him down off of that cross so they would not get away, they would break their legs. Now we find that there would be no bone of the Passover lamb that would be broken, and not one of his was to be broken. They did not break his legs. What did they do instead? They took the spear and put it into his side. David prophesied that Jesus would commit his spirit to God. And he also prophesied Jesus' last words. His burial in the tomb of a rich man, as we already looked at, was foretold by Isaiah. I have just read for you 28 prophecies fulfilled on the crucifixion day. On one day, on that particular day, all these prophecies concerning his suffering were fulfilled in every detail. I don't know about you, but I think that's a lasting testimony that Jesus truly is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. Thank God that we have a Savior as such. So what do we find in the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ? We find prophecy fulfilled. I believe there's something else that is very unique. And that is, and I've listed it this way, identification understood. He was hung between two thieves, having been condemned by the Roman governor. Now Jesus, as we find from the Word of God, is God. Amen? He is God. And yet he came to this world. I could not fully understand it, but when he came to this world, he came He's still God, but he came as man. And he placed himself as a man. Matter of fact, we find something unique. We find that he was led by the Holy Spirit of God. And so it gives us a great example. You and I, as God's children, ought to be allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. You say, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, when you get saved, he comes to live within. And when he does so, there's some things that take place. One of those is we begin to understand the Word of God. We find that God has taught us that the Spirit, as he would be sent, would help us to understand the marvelous Word of God. And you and I have that privilege. I don't know about you, I didn't understand much of the Bible until I got saved. And now I can understand, and it's an ongoing process. Have you noticed that? I don't know about you, I read a lot from the Word every day, and it's amazing. As I look at it, I find things I had not ever seen before. And the blessing that comes as a result of that. So we notice something. Jesus was what? He came like us. He identified with us. You see, God cannot die. God is everlasting. God is eternal. And so as he somehow divested himself of something there, some of his attributes, I'm not sure how, I do know this. He became a man. And as a man, he could be tempted. He was he not? As a man, he got hungry. Did he not? As a man, he required water. Did he not? And thoroughly as a man. And what happened on the cross of Calvary? Something marvelous took place. As a man, he came, and as a man, he died. Did he die for his sin? He had none. He had no sin. And so when he died, the Bible says the iniquity of us all was laid on him. Listen, that's something to shout about. Your sin was placed on him. And as a result, he takes your place on the cross of Calvary. And taking your place on the cross of Calvary, he died for you. What's required because of your sin? The wages of sin is death. Yes. And you and I, by the way, that's not just physical death. No. It's talking about an eternal death. It's a separation from God forever. The place of that separation is called hell. It's a place of darkness because God is light. It's a place of torment because God is comfort. And you and I have that marvelous privilege because our iniquity was laid upon him. Now there's something even more beautiful in many regards, and that is his righteousness was then laid upon us. When we accept what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, when our iniquity was laid upon him, then upon us came his righteousness. That's called imputation. It's imputed to us. It's put on our account. It's something you didn't pay for, but you got anyway. Thank God for that. And so we find he identified himself with us. And we can begin to understand that because not only did he die for us, he was buried in a tomb. And in that tomb, his death is certainly proven to show that he is man. God doesn't live in tombs. Okay? And secondly or thirdly, I would say this. The burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a testimony. See, how's it a testimony? Well, I think there's some great words in the Bible in Matthew 28, verse 6. And it simply says he's not here. For he's risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. He's gone. Listen, you and I today, we don't celebrate a Christ who's still hanging on a cross. The cross is empty. He's gone from that. He was placed in a tomb. But we don't go to the tomb to find Jesus because he's not there. It's empty. He's not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He wants them to understand, hey, he has arisen. Never, never in the history of the world has one raised from the dead of their own accord. Never. Jesus said this, that he had the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. They did not kill Jesus on the cross. You realize that? No. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. Yes, he was crucified. Yes, he suffered horrible torment. But they could not kill him. He laid it down willingly because he loves us. And we find that, listen, praise God for a Savior who was willing to do that. Amen. But he then arose of his own accord. Jesus, we find from the Word of God, brought three people back to life. We find in the Old Testament a couple of people who were resurrected. But none of them was of their own accord. This morning we celebrate, we call it Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And it's an exciting time. And by the way, every Sunday is a commemoration of that. And as we gather together and we celebrate that, we're so thankful for what he did for us upon the cross of Calvary. But there are other religions that they gather together, perhaps some of them today, and they say their prayers and they go through all of their incantations and all the things that they do. And they bow down to a statue or they think of some person who has died, but none of them have a living Savior. None of them. The Buddhists worship a rock. It's a piece of stone made into a fat boy. And they worship him. And listen, we find that the Muslims, Muhammad's, they worship Muhammad. Guess what? He's dead. He's not alive. They don't have a living Savior. But we do. Amen. Something to be excited about. And what makes it exciting is we know that he arose because he was put in a tomb. You can't arise unless you're down. You can't come out of a grave unless you're in the grave. And so we have, as the Bible declares, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to share something else with you this morning, if I can find it. You ever lose anything? I get these often, and it says, Dear Open Door Baptist Church, this is from Brother Josh Sturt's family. And it's written out in longhand. This is not something they just type up and send to everybody. He says, Thank you so much for allowing us to present our ministry, Couriers for Christ, at your Missions Conference last week. We thoroughly enjoyed the sweet spirit and great music in the worship services. Thank you to everyone who helped make our visit memorable, including the delicious meals. I looked this and I saw that was the first thing. I like this guy. The great accommodations and the friendship you extended. We received such a warm welcome that it was hard to leave. Thank you to the congregation for the generous love offering. The money will be very useful as we travel in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan in the upcoming months. We're looking forward to being with you again in the future, possibly this summer. I've told them any time they come this direction. We're so grateful that your investment in souls in Eastern Europe through Couriers for Christ. We miss you already in Christ's service, the Josh Durst family. Last week, if you haven't heard, you folks promised to give $2,868, I think was what the number was, or $2,868. That's not a year. That's not a month. That's a week. And I find it marvelous that you all have really a great love for missionaries. And it's a neat relationship we've got to build through the years. And these fellows become very, very special to us. And so I'm thankful that they had that opportunity with you. And we have the opportunity to take the gospel even further. I figured that up for a year. Somebody, you got your calculator right there. I think it's $158,000 for the year or something like that. And I love praise God for that. I was tonight, but I wasn't thinking clearly. I will next week. We'll take some time. And basically what I want to do is just make out a ballot, has four names on it, and you'll be able to check that as if you believe that would be right for us to take them on as a missionary. One is Joshua Sturz, we just mentioned here. Oh my goodness, I lost name. Honduras. Brother Hodges. Brother Lehman from a few weeks ago. And then before that, I'm glad you folks can remember stuff. Chesley Howell, okay? And some really good men. And, you know, praise the Lord, we have an opportunity there to be a blessing and a help. So God's blessed marvelously in the missions, and praise God for it. It's just neat to see. What that will do, by the way, is bring our total number of missionaries up to 50 if we approve all four of those men. And what a blessing that is from this church. By the way, you have a lot of them tell you this. I know it's true. You find a lot of much bigger churches who don't do as much for missions. And I say all that to say I'm so thankful for a people who have that kind of vision. And may God continue that in your life as we go forward. Amen. And one other thing I'll mention about that is this. Some folks don't understand this. But if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. I find it marvelous. I've found people who started giving to Faith Promise who raised their tithe at the same time. It's not unusual that take place. And God somehow takes care of all the needs that are around here. And praise the Lord. Right now you hear an air conditioning running. 2 weeks ago we had the heater on. But if we don't have, by the way, I understand for older folks, I'm one of those. My wife, she informed me this week I'm old. I'm still mad at her for it, but I'll get over it. And you know what the pit is? She's younger than me, so she can say I'm young. But sometimes it gets a little cool, and you know, some of you got to put a sweater on and so forth. But if we don't do that, it gets so hot in here. And we had to put new air conditioning and new furnaces. By the way, it's paid for. And just some things that it had to be done. They had gone bad. So the air conditioner out here was bad from last fall. Our furnace is downstairs. Our furnace man, he says, you better replace them. He says, I cannot fix them anymore. He says they're just not fixable. Okay. I think I'm at that spot in my body. Somebody says, how you doing? You got a list? You know what? I do a lot of lying. People say, how you doing? I say, I'm doing great. Or, I'm doing okay. I'm doing wonderful. And I'll tell you what. Even if I'm not, that's what I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to have to go through that list. I thought about just typing the bottom of a sheet of paper and just handing it to people when they asked me. But, hey, listen, you know, you can have a lot of things go wrong, but we've still got a God to serve. And I might be 74, but I'm still kicking. I don't kick as hard or as high. That's to your benefit. But nonetheless, still at it. And I'm thankful for it. And praise God. I met a fella. I'm rambling now. I met a fella about 6-7 years ago. He had pastored the same church. It was over 50 years. Wow. He was still at it. I think this year we are, 47? Something like that. I can't remember. 1973, what's that make it? It makes it 48. We're already in 47. Okay. One of the beautiful things when you get older is when you forget things, people don't really think as much about it. Amen. Okay. Listen, we got about 10 minutes longer this morning, and let's have prayer and you have some more fellowship. What a beautiful thing. I can hear all those voices as they're rumbling and so forth. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for a time of fellowship as we had breakfast together. Thank you for these moments we could talk about the burial of our Savior and how important it is. We thank you, oh God, for the privilege and the hour to come. And we pray that our hearts might be touched and blessed. May you be glorified by all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.